Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for our time here today that we can study and understand this book and what's in it. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, and you need to show us the truth and help us through all of this. So we do ask you for that, and we ask that you would cover it now, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jubilee 17, I'm told that's where we stopped. And Abraham made a great banquet for Isaac, was weaned. And in the first year of the fifth week, Isaac was weaned in this Jubilee. And Abraham made a great banquet in the third month on the day his son Isaac was weaned. And Ishmael, the son of Hagar the Egyptian, was before the face of Abraham, his father, in his place. And Abraham rejoiced and blessed Yahweh because he had seen his sons and had not died childless. He has two now, Isaac and Ishmael. And he remembered the words which he had spoken unto him on the day on which Lot had parted from him. And he rejoiced because Yahweh had given him seed upon the earth to inherit the earth. And he blessed with all his mouth the Creator of all things. By the way, that's really important. You know, you can be thankful in your heart, and you can say, Lord, I really appreciate things in your heart. But when you really mean it, it comes out. And you need to do that. Even if there's no one else around, there are others around. And when you say something, it's established to you, and in the Spirit, it is established unto you. And when you say, Yahweh, you are my sovereign Lord, there's no doubt where you stand. And everyone else knows that. Amen? And he did that with his mouth. And Sarah saw Ishmael playing and dancing, and Abraham rejoiced with great joy, and she became jealous of Ishmael and said to Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman will not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was grievous in Abraham's sight because of his maid servant and because of her son, that he should drive them from him. Now, just right there, you'd have to say, you know, the woman was just jealous. No big deal. She'll get over it. But here it says, and Yahweh, God, said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in your sight because of the child and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said to you, listen to her words and do them. For in Isaac shall your name be called. Praise the Lord, your seed be called. And so guys, yes, there are times when you have to listen to your wife. There are. And in this case, you know, you could understand how Abraham would be grieved. He's saying, no. You know, I don't want this to happen. And God says, no. Do what she said. What that implies is that Sarah was actually feeling what God wanted to do. Maybe she didn't know it and didn't know how to express it. But God says, no, what she's saying is the right thing to do here. You know, when we all get saved, there are times we have to break friendships. There are times when we have to separate ourselves from the past and the things that had done. And they're often grievous things to do. But sometimes God comes in and tells us, you're better off if you go this way and they go that way. You know what I'm saying? This is one of those. But as for the son of this bondwoman, I will make him a great nation because he is your seed. No other reason other than he is your son, Abraham. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, placed them on the shoulders of Hagar and the child, and sent her away. My goodness. I mean, if somebody, you know, that's kind of like out the door, bud. You know, a bottle of water and a little bit of food. I mean, that has to take faith, doesn't it? Yes. Okay, God, you said you're going to take care of him. Here's a bottle of water and a few things that'll get you through for a little bit. But from there on out, it's God that has to do the work. God says, I will not share my glory with anyone else. I will not share my glory with anyone else. Abraham won't be able to take credit for Ishmael becoming a great nation. Only God can. And there's something to be said there, that God will not share his glory. There are times when we think, why doesn't God do X, Y, Z? And if you go back to the root, you're going to find that someone else is going to take the glory for that. And God won't do it. He won't do it. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water in the bottle was spent. And the child thirsted and was not able to go on and fell down. And his mother took him and cast him under an olive tree and went and set her down over against him at the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of my child. And as she sat, she wept. Well, you know, I don't blame her. And Amalek, an angel of Yahweh, one of the holy ones, the Kadosh ones, said to her, why weep you, Hagar? Arise, take the child, hold him in your hand, for Yahweh has heard your voice and has seen the child. How many times does, you know, God tells us to do something and right away we say, this ain't going to work. I'm going to sit down and die. And she opened her eyes and saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and she gave her child to drink, and she arose and went towards the wilderness of Paran. You know, sometimes the well's right there. It's right there. We just don't see it because we're not looking for it. She was too focused in on what was going on, and the whole time, that well didn't just show up. That well was there. She missed the well, and God had to come in and point it out to her. The angels did, the Malach of the Lord, pointed it out and said, here's your salvation. Move on. Sometimes that's the way we are. We have to look around and say, God, you're going to do this. How are you going to do it? And the child grew and became an archer, and Yahweh was with him. And his mother took him a wife from amongst the daughters of Egypt, because she's Egyptian, remember. And she bare him a son. She called his name Nebioth, for she said, Yahweh was nigh to me when I called upon him. And it came to pass in the seventh week, in the first year thereof, in the first month, or new moon, first month, in this Jubilee, on the 12th of this month, there were voices in heaven regarding Abraham, that he was faithful in all that he told him, and that he loved Yahweh, and that in every affliction he was faithful. Isn't that an amazing thing? That in heaven, the scuttlebutt, the voices, people were talking, going, can you believe Abraham? Can you believe it? Every time God tells him to do something, he does it. He's a man just like everybody else. But yet when God tells him to do something, he gets up in the morning, hands the kid a bottle of water, and sends him out the door. How hard is that? It even impressed the angels, I say. And the talk around heaven was that this was the case. And the prince, Mastema, Satan, we read that last week, came and said before Yahweh, behold, Abraham loves Isaac, his son, and he delights in him above all else. Bid him offer a burnt offering, him as a burnt offering on the altar, and you will see if he will do this command, and you will know if he is faithful in everything wherein you do try him. So Satan's in there. First of all, can Satan go right up and be in front of God? The Bible tells us he can. That he has. He's come up. Read Job. Job is a very similar case to this, where, you know, Satan comes up and he says, well, God says to him, what are you up to? He says, I've been going around all through the earth, looking at the sons of men and who I can deceive and all that kind of stuff. And he said, well, have you considered Job? Have you seen anybody like that lately? And the same type of thing takes place. And so he says, you know, you try and take something he really loves away from him, and you'll see. And Yahweh knew that Abraham was faithful in all his afflictions, for he had tried him through his country with famine. He had tried him with the wealth of kings. He had tried him again through his wife when she was torn from him, and with circumcision. and had tried him through Ishmael and Hagar, his handservant, when he sent them away. These were all trials sent to him by God to see what he was made of. And that's why everybody's saying, we haven't seen anybody like this. Can you imagine that? But the key here, if you want to understand this, is to go back on 17, and it says, and Yahweh knew that Abraham. God knows. God knew what Abraham was going to do. He knew Abraham better than Abraham did. He knew Abraham, and Mastema did not. Mastema just says, you just got to turn the wick up and he's going to fail, because that's what he thought. But God knew. When you look at the seven churches of Asia in Revelations, it says, speak unto the angel of this church and this church and this church, and say unto them, I know thy works. And he says it to all of them, I know. God knows you. He knows everything about you, and he knows all about you. He knew Abraham here. There was no guesswork. He wasn't taking any chances. He was the only one that knew what Abraham would do. Abraham didn't know. Estima didn't know. The angels didn't know. I didn't know. And Yahweh knew that he was faithful. And then he goes through all of these things. You know, he was tried through his wife when she was torn away from him. All those things. Think back to your life, people. You know there have been times. There have been good times where you made the right choice and you knew it. Times when you were tried and you say, God, I didn't do what was right. And you get another chance to choose again. God, give us more chances to choose you. And in everything wherein he had tried him, he was found faithful, and his soul was not impatient, and he was not slow to act, for he was faithful and a lover of Yahweh. Wow! I just get excited at this because, you know, I know people that are impatient. I want God to do this, and I want it done now. You know, there's no reason why God should wait. It should be done now. They're impatient. God said, don't be impatient. You can't, through saying things to God, make him go any faster than is right, because he knows. Therefore, you can't push God, ever. And at the same time, he says he was not slow to act. When given a direction, sometimes we drag our feet. Sometimes I think God just has a rope around us and he's dragging us through this life because we're saying, no, no, no. I'm speaking for myself here. He is faithful and a lover of Yahweh. Oh, that we would all be lovers of Yahweh. Amen? Amen. Abraham offers up Isaac, his son. And Yahweh said to him, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take your beloved son, whom you love, even Isaac, and go into the high country and offer him on one of the mountains which I will point out unto you. So God is still very active in this situation. He says, you may be going into the hills the way I'm asking you to, but I'm going to be there to point things out to you. That's important, all of us, to know that when God puts you into a position and begins to push you out into an area where you don't want to go, he's there with you, and he is going to guide you. And he arose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his two young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood of the burnt offering. And he went to the place on the third day, and he saw the place afar off. He knew it was the place because we know God's talking to him. And he came to a well of water, and he said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I will take, and I and the lad shall go yonder, and when we have worshipped, we will come again to you. There's a statement there. He says, I know my God. I know, he said, through this child there will be a great nations and whatever. I am trusting him. We'll be back. That's pretty heavy stuff. Abraham's a better man than I am. I mean, I can't imagine going through that. And he took the wood and the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son, even made him carry it. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And he went both of them together to that place. And Isaac said to his father, Father, son. And he said to him, Behold, the sheep for the... He said, My son. And he... And he built... This is the angel speaking. Son, your firstborn from me. Now, the angel, the presence. He is the angel of the Lord. Well, he is an angel. We, being full gospel people here, understand how God can use one of us to speak a message. To a message in. We believe that and we understand it. We have no problem. Understand how God could use an angel. But he, and this is what goes on in the gifts of the Spirit. In this case, this is what's going on here. And the prince Mastema was put to shame. Praise God. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. Mastema was put to shame. Satan was embarrassed. He's going, well, the guy's a better man than I. Didn't last long, though, ignorant so-and-so. And Abraham called the place Yahweh Has Seen. So that it is said, Yahweh has seen. That is Mount Zion. Anybody been to Mount Zion? Yeah. Yeah, I know most of you have. Been to Mount Zion. It's right over there, the temple area. And Yahweh called Abraham by his name a second time from heaven, as he caused us to appear to speak to him in the name of Yahweh. That's what I'm talking about. And he said, By myself have I sworn, saith Yahweh, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your beloved son, from me, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall inherit the cities of its enemies, and in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice, and I have shown to all that you are faithful unto me in all that I have said unto you. Go in peace, go in shalom. Now, who's the all? The angels. The angels of God, the ones that were standing around going, Have you heard? He's a pretty good dude. And they went through all of that. Now, he said, Shut them all up. They know now just how good he really is. Abraham went to a year, 7 days. We called it the festival of Yahweh, according to the 7 days during which he went and returned in peace. And according as it had been ordained and written on the heavenly tablets regarding Israel and its seed, that they should observe this festival 7 days with the joy of festival. It's Abraham's idea. Me, you want to have a festival and you want to celebrate what just took place. And so it was Abraham that said, we're going to do this all. Any comments? Good? Nothing about those angels doing things or nothing? We're all good. Okay. Praise the Lord. Sarah died in Hebron. And in the first year of the first week of the 42nd Jubilee, Abram returned and dwelt opposite Hebron, that is Kiriath Arba. 2 weeks of years. 2 weeks of years. How long is that? 14 years. Yeah, you guys are good. And Abraham went to mourn over her and bury her, and we tried him to see if his spirit were patient, and he were not indignant in the words of his mouth. And he was found patient in this, and was not disturbed. There are things going on in your life when God just says, I want you to take this, okay, and trust me and walk through it. And not to be disturbed, and not to be impatient, and not to be indignant in the way you treat people and say things. Amen? For in patience of spirit, he conversed with the children of Heth, to the intent that they should give him a place in which to bury his dead. And Yahweh gave him free, unmerited favor, grace, before all who saw him. And he besought in gentleness the sons of Heth. And they gave him the land of the double cave over against Mamre, that is Hebron, for 400 pieces of silver. And they said to him, saying, we shall give it to you for nothing. But he would not take it from their hands for nothing. For he gave the price of the place, the money in full, and he bowed down before them twice. And after this, he buried his dead in the double cave. Now, right now in Hebron, in the city of Hebron, there's a place called Machpelah. Anybody know about it? It is the double cave. It is the cave where the patriarchs and they have been laid. The Muslims have a building over the top of it and won't let Jews anywhere near it. Okay, that's where it's at today. But it's still there. And there are accounts online of how there are Jews who have snuck in looking like Arabs, found the cave. It's a hole in the floor. There's maybe no bigger than this, a tile, and it has an inscription on it. You pop the tile out, and you can go down into those caves. And you can go down through, and they've gone down through and to see the caves where their fathers are buried and have come back out. And, of course, the Arabs have put people down in there, and they never come back. Yeah, I mean, it's you read the story, you don't know what's true and what isn't true. But go in there. Okay? And it's all here. He's like David. I think David probably got it from the threshing floor up on Mount Zion. The Jews own it. They're not anybody else's property ever at all. They're in the land that God gave them, and then when they came into this, they paid for it. That double cave belongs to Abraham and to his seed. Amen? And all the days of the life of Sarah were 127 years. We should all be so lucky. That is, 2 jubilees, 4 weeks, and 1 year. These are the days of the years of the life of Sarah. Praise God. This is the 10th trial wherein Abraham was tried, and he was found faithful and patient in spirit. 10 times Abraham was tried. He said not a single word regarding the rumor in the land, how that Yahweh had said that he would give it to him, to his seed after him, and begged a place to bury his dead, for he was found faithful and was not recorded, and was recorded on the heavenly tablets as a friend of Yahweh. This is where it talks about that. He's a friend of Yahweh. Now, an interesting thing here is that in the land, all the other people in the land there where Abraham was at, they all said, we know that you're supposed to inherit all this. How come is it, if you're going to inherit all this, you're having to beg a place to bury your wife? Yet, you got to go out and beg a place to bury your wife. Well, Abraham could have said, you're right. I just hadn't taken it into his own hands and taken the land and taken the place. He could, because he had the ability to do that, and he had the men to do that. But he didn't. He kept his cool. He went about it, and he did it very carefully and was a good man. And God says, this is what I wanted. And it's recorded, written in the tablets in heaven. And in the fourth year thereof, he took a wife for his son Isaac, and her name was Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor, the brother of Abraham, the sister of Laban, and the daughter of Bethuel. And Bethuel was the son of Milcah, who was the wife of Nahor, the brother of Abraham. You got that? You can get it, but it just takes a little work. We're not going to do that here. And Abraham took to himself a third wife, and her name was Keturah. Now, think about how old Abraham is, guys. Okay, he says, you know, I can't have kids. I'm 100 years old. Sarah's 90. Okay, now he's got kids and his wife's gone. First thing he does, go out and find a new wife. I'm not going to say anything else. And her name was Keturah, from among the daughters of the household of his household servants. For Hagar had died before Sarah, and she bare him 6 sons: Zimrah, Joktan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua, in 2 weeks of years. And in the 6th week, in the 2nd year thereof, Rebekah bare to Isaac 2 sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was a smooth and an upright man, and Esau was fierce, a man of the field, and hairy, and Jacob dwelt in tents. And the youth grew, and Jacob learned to write, but Esau did not learn, for he was a man of the field and a hunter, and he learned war, and all his deeds were fierce. And Abraham loved Jacob, and Isaac loved Esau. And Abraham saw the deeds of Esau, and he knew that in Jacob should his name and seed be called. Now, who's this? Abraham, Grandpa Abraham. Remember we sing the song? Grandpa Abraham looks at Jacob and says, here's the seed. Okay? And he called Rebekah and gave commandment regarding Jacob. Ah, so this isn't her idea at all. Ah. For he knew that she also loved Jacob much more than Esau. And he said to her, my daughter, watch over my son Jacob, for he shall be in my stead on the earth, for a blessing in the midst of the children of men, and for the splendor of the whole seed of Shem. For I know that Yahweh will choose him to be a people for possession unto himself, above all peoples that are on the face of the earth. And behold, Isaac, my son, loves Esau more than Jacob. But I see that you truly love Jacob. Add still further to your kindness to him, and let your eyes be upon him in love, for he shall be a blessing unto us on the earth from henceforth unto all generations of the earth. Now that's Abraham talking. Amen. Abraham's looking at his grandson and going, my son doesn't get it. You get it. I get it. This is what has to happen. Let your hands be strong and let your heart rejoice for in your son, Jacob. For I have loved him far above all my sons. He shall be blessed forever, and his seed shall fill the whole earth. If a man can number the sands of the earth, his seed also shall be numbered. and all the blessings wherein Yahweh has blessed me and my seed shall belong to Jacob and his seed always. And in his seed shall my name be blessed, and the name of my fathers, Shem, Noah, and Enoch, and Mahalalel, and Enos, and Seth, and Adam. He's talking all the way back to the beginning. Wasn't that far, was it? Was not that hard to get back to the beginning. And these shall serve to lay the foundations of the heaven, and to strengthen the earth, and to renew all the luminaries which are in the firmament. Well, speaking beyond this world, speaking into a new heaven, and into the foundations of a new heaven, the strengthening of the earth, and the renewal of the luminaries which are in the firmament. And he has a part in that, and his children after him. I mean, that's not happened, but it's going to happen. You watch. And he called Jacob before the eyes of Rebekah his mother, and kissed him and blessed him, and said, Jacob, my beloved son, whom my soul loves, may Yahweh bless you above the firmament, above the heavens. And may he give you all the blessings wherein he blessed Adam and Enoch and Noah and Shem, and all the things of which he told me, and all the things which he promised to give me, may he cause to cleave to and to your seed forever, according to the days of heaven above the earth. And the spirits of Mastema shall not rule over you and your seed to turn you from Yahweh, who is your sovereign ruler from henceforth forever. And may Yahweh Almighty be a father to you, and you the firstborn son to all the people always. What's he called? Firstborn son. It was not Esau. Esau was not the firstborn son. What took place inside that womb was between two brothers. What took place outside was between God and the fathers and the grandfathers and in the spirit. Go in shalom, my son. And they both went forward together from Abraham, and Rebekah loved Jacob with all her heart and with all her soul, very much more than Esau. But Isaac loved Esau more than Jacob. Let's take a break. We'll come back on Jubilees 20. Abraham calls all his sons and commands them to observe the ways of Yahweh. All right, Jubilees 20. Abraham called his sons and commanded them to observe the way of Yahweh. Y'all stop laughing at me. It was the hot coffee I've got sitting here. Oh, that is good coffee. In the 42nd Jubilee, in the first year of the seventh week, Abraham called Ishmael and his 12 sons, and Isaac and his two sons, and the six sons of Keturah and their sons, or grandsons, and he commanded them that they should observe the way of Yahweh, that they should walk, work righteousness, and love each his neighbor, and act on this manner amongst all men, that they should each so walk with regard to them as to do just judgment and righteousness on the earth. This is his desire for his family. That they should circumcise their sons according to the covenant which he had made with them, not deviate to the right hand or to the left of all the paths of Yahweh had commanded us, that we should keep ourselves from all fornication and uncleanness, and renounce from amongst us all fornication and uncleanness. And if any woman or maid commit fornication amongst you, burn her with fire. Let them not commit fornication with her after their eyes and their heart. You know, Jesus said, that adultery was the act. And he says, but I'm telling you that the heart or the thought of it, you've already committed it. And I used to think that Jesus was bringing sin up to a little bit higher level of accountability for men. Well, right here, it just said that. That it was with their eyes and with their hearts. And let them not take to themselves wives of the daughters of Canaan, for the seed of Canaan shall be rooted out of the land. That's prophetic. And he told him of the judgment of the giants and the judgment of the Sodomites, how they had been judged on account of their wickedness and had died in account of their fornication, uncleanness, mutual corruption through fornication. And guard yourselves from all fornication and uncleanness, from all pollution of sin, lest you make your name a curse and your whole life a hissing, and your sons be destroyed by the sword, and you become accursed like Sodom, and your remnant as the sons of Gomorrah. I implore you, my sons, love Yahweh of heaven, and cleave you to all his commandments, and walk not after their idols, after their uncleanness, and make not for yourselves molten or graven gods, for they are vanity, and there's no spirit in them, for they are the work of men's hands, and all who trust in them trust in nothing. Serve them not, nor worship them, but serve you the Most High Yahweh, and worship him continually, and hope for his countenance always, and work uprightness and righteousness before him, that he may have pleasure in you and grant you his mercy, and send rain upon you morning and evening, and bless all your works which you have wrought upon the earth, and bless your bread and your water, and bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land and the herds of your cattle and the flocks of your sheep. And you will be for a blessing on the earth. And all nations of the earth will desire you and bless your sons in my name, that they may be blessed as I am. And he gave to Ishmael and to his sons and to the sons of Keturah gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son. And he gave everything to Isaac his son. And Ishmael and his sons and the sons of Keturah and their sons went together and dwelt from Paran to the entering in of Babylon and all the land which is towards the east facing the desert. And these mingled with each other, and their name was called Arabs and Ishmaelites. Okay? Pretty straightforward. Any questions? Anything in there you saw that you'd like to mention, say something about? Okay. Jubilees 21. Abraham called Isaac his son and instructs and blesses him. And in the sixth year, the seventh week of this Jubilee, Abraham called Isaac his son and commanded him, saying, I am become old and know not the day of my death, and I am full of my years. Behold, I am 175 years old, and throughout all the days of my life I have remembered Yahweh and sought with all my heart to do his will and to walk uprightly in all his ways. My soul has hated idols, and I have given my heart and spirit that I might observe to do the will of him who created me. For he is the living Yahweh, and he is Kadosh and faithful, and he is righteous beyond all, and there is with him no accepting of men's persons and no accepting of gifts, for Yahweh is righteous and executes judgment on all those who transgress his commandments and despise his covenant. And do you, my son, observe his commandments and his ordinances and his judgments, and walk not after the abominations, and after the graven images and the molten images, and eat no blood at all of animals or cattle or of any bird which flies in the heaven. If you do slay a victim as an acceptable shalom offering, slay you it, and pour out its blood upon the altar, and all the fat of the offering offer on the altar with fine flour, and the meat offering mingled with oil, with its drink offering, offer them all on the altar of the burnt offering. It is a sweet savor before Yahweh. And you will offer the fat of the sacrifice of thanks offerings on the fire which is upon the altar, and the fat which is on the belly, and the fat on the inwards, and the two kidneys, and all the fat that is upon them, and upon the loins, and the liver you shall remove together with the kidneys, and offer all these for a sweet savor, acceptable before Yahweh, with its meat offering, and with its drink offering, for its sweet savor, and the bread of the offering unto Yahweh. And eat its meat on the day, on that day, and on the second day, and let not the sun on the second day go down upon it till it is eaten. And let nothing be left over for the third day, for it is not acceptable, not approved. And let it no longer be eaten. And all who eat thereof will bring sin upon themselves. For thus I have found it written in the books of my forefathers, in the books of Enoch, and in the words of Noah. So there we know that there's a book of Noah and a book of Enoch, don't we? Well, we also know that because we studied it a while back, and I think they are those books. The words of Noah, the book of Noah, we don't actually have an actual copy of that book. What we have are excerpts out of it that had been placed in Enoch. And so we don't have a complete book of Noah. And on all your oblations you shall strew salt, and let not the salt of the covenant be lacking in all your oblations before Yahweh. And as regards the wood of the sacrifices, beware lest you bring wood for the altar in addition to these: cypress, bay, almond, fir, pine, cedar, savin, fig, olive, myrrh, laurel, and asphalus. All these kinds of wood lay upon the altar under the sacrifice, such has been tested as to their appearance. It got to be good wood. You're not even going to burn bad wood for God. You're not just going to go out and pick up any old thing, any old piece of wood. It's going to be good wood. Why? Because God is holy and kadosh, created all things. And do not lay thereon any split or dark wood, but hard and clean, without fault, a sound and new growth. And do not lay thereon old wood, for its fragrance is gone, for there is no longer fragrance in it as before. So we might use dry wood in our fire at home, because it burns better and lights better. But when it comes to a sacrifice before God, he says, I want to smell the wood. I want to know that it's new wood. Besides these kinds of woods, there is none other that you can shall place on the altar, for the fragrance is dispersed, and the smell of its fragrance goes not up to heaven. Observe this commandment and do it, my son, that you may be upright in all your deeds, and at all times be clean in your body, and wash yourselves with water before you approach to offer on the altar. Wash your hands, wash your feet before you draw near to the altar. And when you are done sacrificing, wash again your hands and your feet. And let no blood appear upon you, nor upon your clothes, but on your guard. Be on your guard, my son, against blood. Be on your guard exceedingly. Cover it with dust. And do not eat any blood, for it is the soul. Eat no blood whatsoever. And take no gifts for the blood of men, lest it be shed with impunity, without judgment. For it is the blood that is shed that causes the earth to sin. And the earth cannot be cleansed from the blood of man, save by the blood of him who shed it. It's all about blood, isn't it? You know, people, I know when I first became a Christian, What is all this blood talk? The blood of this and the blood of that, and pleading the blood over this. You know, it just kind of sets you back, you know. But then once you begin to understand that the blood is our lives, and it has to do with life, and it has to do with righteousness, it has to do with all these things. And God says, you know, life for life, blood for blood. And take no present or gift for the blood of man, blood for blood, that you may be accepted before Yahweh, before the Almighty, the Most High Yahweh, for He is the defense of the good, and that you may be preserved from all evil, and that He may save you from every kind of death. How many kinds of death are there? I know, there are ways I wouldn't want to die. Huh? Yeah. I see, my son, that all the works of the children of men are sin and wickedness. All the works of the children of men? Yes. For all have sinned. They've all gone astray. There's none righteous, no, not one. And wickedness, and all their deeds are uncleanness and an abomination and a pollution, and there is no righteousness with them. Beware, lest you should walk in their ways and tread in their paths and sin a sin unto death before the Most High Yahweh. Remember, the Bible talks about there's sin, there's sin unto death. Well, this is, says the same thing. Else He will hide His face from you and give you back into the hands of your transgression and root you out of the land, and your seed likewise from under heaven, and your name and your seed shall perish from the whole earth. There is a judgment. Turn away from their deeds and all their uncleanness, and observe the ordinance of the Most High Yahweh, and do His will, and be upright in all things. And He will bless you in all your deeds, and will raise you up a plant of righteousness through all the earth, throughout all generations of the earth. And My name and your name shall not be forgotten under heaven forever. Boy, if there's one thing that you people and all of us here need to understand, is that this is a serious thing, our lives. Our lives are a serious thing. God is watching. The angels are watching. The Holy Spirit is watching to see how we handle our lives. However insignificant you think you are not insignificant to God. God put a spirit within you and gave you a life. And He says, wherein you are, I want you to seek Me and to understand Me and to seek to do the things that was right, so that at the end of the whole thing, you can stand before God through the blood, not in your sins, but completely whole. That's what life is all about. There are people that are 90 years old in their lives and they haven't come to that conclusion yet. They don't understand what life is all about. But we need to understand how important it is. And you can't say, well, you know, it's no big deal. I'm just this, I'm just that. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Where did I stop? 25? What's that? Oh, and He went out from him rejoicing. Jubilees 22. Any questions on that after I browbeat you and preach and everything else? Any questions? Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Boy, you guys are... Do you want to...
When they go through all of the things that they go through with the blood...
Right.
When hunters do that, what did they do when they kill a deer or an elk? The first thing they do.
Yes, exactly.
So they made it cleanse. It's not only, I mean, it's so apropos for sins and everything. It's so complete, and even that you prepare to eat.
That's right, to do it right. Johnny, back there in the back. Now speak up so I can hear you.
Okay. And growing up back in Missouri, we ate a lot of wild meat, like deer and squirrel and rabbit. We ate all of that stuff, and my mother made sure that when after the animal was skinned, we had to soak that animal in salt water. She said, you need to get every bit of that water, that blood out of there. You don't want to eat it. I mean, this was way back when. And the importance of getting the blood out. Also, the blood spoils the animal. So it talks about in here, after three days, you no longer can eat the animal. So,
One of the things you have to realize is, you know, we talk about the circumcision last week, how God introduced circumcision, and now how you don't eat the blood. God also knows that there are good reasons in the natural not to do it. And so he doesn't just arbitrarily make things up. He has good reasons in the spirit and good reasons in the natural. And if you follow him, your life goes better. Amen. It's just the way it is. Amen? Boy, that was a long time ago, Marianne, that you said way back when. I heard it. Okay, Isaac and Ishmael come to celebrate the Feast of Weeks before Abraham's death. And it came to pass in the first week of the 44th Jubilee in the second year, that is, the year in which Abraham died. And Isaac and Ishmael came from the Well of Oath to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, that is, the Feast of the First Fruits of the harvest, to Abraham their father, and Abraham rejoiced because his two sons had come. Boy, I know how you, if you've been around long, you know what it's like when your kids come back and you see them. It's good to see them. For Isaac had many possessions in Beersheba, and Isaac was wont to go and see his possessions and return to his father. And in those days, Ishmael came to see his father, and they both came together, and Isaac offered a sacrifice for a burnt offering, presented it on the altar of his father, which he had made in Hebron. And he offered a thank offering and made a feast of joy before Ishmael, his brother. Ah, Arabs and Jews getting along? Yes. In Hebron. This man knows. Yes, in Hebron. His brother and Rebekah made new cakes from the new grain and gave them to Jacob, her son, to take them to Abraham, his father, from the first fruits of the land, that he might eat and bless the Creator of all things before he died. And Isaac, too, sent by the hand of Jacob to Abraham a best thank offering, that he might eat and drink. And he ate and drank and blessed the Most High Yahweh, who has created heaven and earth, who has made all the fat things of the earth. Well, that's good to know. The bigger I get, the happier I am. And given them to the children of men, that they might eat and drink and bless their Creator. Amen. And now I give thanks unto you, my sovereign ruler, because you have caused me to see this day. Behold, I am 175 years, an old man full of days, and all my days have been unto me peace. The sword of the adversary has not come upon me in all that you have given me, and my children in all the days of my life unto this day. My sovereign ruler, may your mercy and your shalom be upon your servant and upon the seed of his sons, that they might be to you a chosen nation, an inheritance from among the nations of the earth, from henceforth unto all the days of the generations of the earth, unto all the ages. And he called Jacob and said, my son Jacob, may Yahweh, the sovereign ruler of all, bless you and strengthen you to do righteousness and his will before him. And may he choose you and your seed, that you may become a great people for his inheritance according to his will always. And do you, my son Jacob, draw near and kiss me. And draw near, and he drew near and kissed him and said, blessed be my son Jacob. And all the sons of Yahweh Most High, unto all the ages, may Yahweh give unto you a seed of righteousness. And some of your sons may he sanctify in the midst of the whole earth. May nations serve you, and all the nations bow themselves before your seed. Be strong in the presence of men, and exercise authority over all the seed of Seth. Then your ways and the ways of your sons will be justified, so that they shall become a Kadosh nation. Who are the seed of Seth? Seth was the replacement son, okay, because Cain sinned and was banished. The replacement came from Seth. So this is the righteous line of Adam all the way down. So they shall become a Kadosh, a holy nation. May the Most High Yahweh give you all the blessings wherewith he hath blessed me, and wherewith he blessed Noah and Adam. May they rest on your sacred head of your seed from generation to generation. And may he cleanse you from all unrighteousness and impurity, that you may be forgiven of all the transgressions which you have committed ignorantly. And may he strengthen you and bless you. And may you inherit the whole earth. And may he renew his covenant with you, that you may be to him a nation for his inheritance for all ages. And that he may be to you and to your seed an almighty in truth, righteousness throughout all the days of the earth. And do you, my son Jacob, remember my words and observe the commandments of Abraham, your father? Separate you from the nations and eat not with them, and do not according to their works, and become not their associate, for their works are unclean, and all their ways are a pollution and an abomination and uncleanness. For they offer their sacrifices to the dead, and they worship evil spirits, and they eat over the graves, and all their works are vanity and nothing. For they have no heart to understand, and their eyes do not see what their works are, and how they err in saying to a piece of wood, you are my sovereign ruler, and to a stone, you are my sovereign ruler, and you are my deliverer, and they have no heart. As for you, my son Jacob, may the Most High Yahweh help you. The Almighty of heaven bless you and remove you from their uncleanness and from their error. Beware, my son Jacob, of taking a wife from the seed of the daughters of Canaan, for all his seed is to be rooted out of the earth. For owing to the transgression of Ham, Canaan erred, and all his seed shall be destroyed off the earth, and all the residue thereof, and none springing from him shall be saved in the day of judgment. So he's acknowledging that there is a day of judgment when this will take place. How did Canaan err? Do you remember that? He erred because when he was given, remember, they were all given a place to live, and Ham was supposed to go into Africa, and then Jephthah was given the north, okay? And when Ham and his sons were going over into their place, they came down through Lebanon and Canaan, that son said, I'm staying here. And his dad and his brethren said, you can't stay here. You're going to bring a curse on us. And he says, I'm staying here anyway. I like it better here. And that's what's being spoken of here. The transgression of Ham and Canaan erred, and all his seed shall be destroyed. As for all the worshippers of idols and the profane, there shall be no hope for them in the land of the living. This is what? The day of judgment, of course. No hope for them in the land of the living. There shall be no remembrance of them on earth, for they shall descend into hell, Sheol. And into the place of condemnation shall they go. As the children of Sodom were taken away from the earth, so will all those who worship idols be taken away. I mean, this isn't New Testament doctrine. This is Old Testament doctrine. This is Jewish doctrine. Fear not, my son Jacob, and be not dismayed, O son of Abraham. May the Most High Yahweh preserve you from destruction and from all the paths of error. May he deliver you. This house have I built for myself, that I might put my name upon it in the earth. It is given to you and to your seed forever, and it will be named the house of Abraham. It is given to you and to your seed forever that you will build my house and establish my name before Yahweh forever. Your seed and your name shall stand throughout all generations of the earth. Do we know that today? Of course. And what do we call God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Still today. And he ceased commanding him and blessed him. And blessing him. Okay, I was going to say, don't tell me that wasn't a blessing. Think about it. Have you ever sat down with your kids and said something like that? Yeah. Bless them. Had it written out to where you could look them in the eye and say directly to them what you want for them, what you want them to do, how you want them to live their lives, and the whole shot. Boy, that's an amazing thing this man just did. I think they lived in a different time with a different understanding. I think sometimes we Christians are spiritually snobbish concerning the spirituality of the Old Testament saints. I tell you, this man is an amazing guy. And he ceased commanding and blessing him, and the two lie together on one bed. And Jacob slept in the bosom of Abraham, his father's father, and he kissed him seven times, and in his affection, and his heart rejoiced over him. And he blessed him with all his heart and said, "The Most High Yahweh, the sovereign ruler of all, creator of all, who brought me forth from Ur of Chaldees, that he might give me this land to inherit forever, and that I might establish a Kadosh seed, blessed be the Most High forever." And he blessed Jacob and said, "My son, over whom all my heart and my affection, over whom with all my heart and affection I rejoice, may your free unmerited favor and your mercy be lifted up upon him and upon his seed always. Do not forsake him, nor set him at naught from henceforth unto all the days of eternity. And may your eyes be opened upon him and upon his seed, that you will preserve him and bless him and make him a Kadosh and him Kadosh as a nation for your inheritance, and bless him with all the blessings from henceforth unto all the days of eternity. And renew your covenant and your grace with him and with his seed according to all your good pleasure unto all the generations of the earth." And he placed two fingers of Jacob on his eyes, and he blessed the Almighty of God's, and he covered his face and stretched out his feet and slept the sleep of eternity and was gathered to his fathers. And notwithstanding all this, Jacob was lying in his bosom and knew not that Abraham, his father's father, was dead. And Jacob awoke from his sleep, and behold, Abraham was cold as ice. And he said, "Father, Father," but there was none that spoke. And he knew that he was dead. And he arose from his bosom and ran towards and told Rebekah, his mother. And Rebekah went to Isaac in the night and told him. And they went together, and Jacob with them, and a lamp was in his hand. And when he had gone into, they found Abraham lying dead. He went through that whole thing, basically with his dying breath. And then he laid there with his grandson in his bosom and said, and he took his fingers and he put them on his eyes and closed his eyes, stretched out his feet, put his hands out and said goodbye. That's not in the Bible. See, this is the kind of thing that you get out of this book, that these patriarchs and these people were good people. And they, they're just righteous people. And they weren't just giants of faith or something else. They were people. They had grandsons. They felt pain just like you and I do. Amen? Cool. And Isaac fell on the face of his father and wept and kissed him. And the voices were heard in the house of Abraham, and Ishmael his son arose and went to Abraham his father and wept over Abraham his father. And all those of the house of Abraham, they wept with a great weeping. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the double cave near Sarah, his wife. And they wept for him 40 days. And all the men of his house, and Isaac and Ishmael and all their sons, and all the sons of Keturah in their places, and the days of weeping for Abraham were ended. And he lived 3 jubilees, 4 weeks of years, 175 years, and completed the days of his life, being old and full of days, for the days of the forefathers of their life were 19 jubilees, and after the flood they began to grow less than 19 jubilees, and to decrease in jubilees, and to grow old quickly, and to be full of their days by reason of manifold tribulation and the wickedness of their ways, with the exception of Abraham. They are acknowledging what you will see on those charts I gave you, that men's lives before the flood were like this, and as you go down that chart, you'll see them getting narrower, narrower, and narrower. And it says, by reason of manifold tribulations and sin, wickedness. That's what's killing people today, is the tribulation and the wickedness of the world. And we got so many people here and so much here that it is stunting. Let's keep going here. For Abraham was perfect in all his deeds with Yahweh, and well-pleasing in righteousness all the days of his life. And behold, he did not complete 4 jubilees in his life when he had grown old by reason of the wickedness and was full of his days. And all the generations which shall arise from this time unto the day of the great judgment shall grow old quickly before they complete 2 jubilees, and their knowledge shall forsake them by reason of their old age. Boy, thanks a lot. But that's what it's talking about. Okay, 2 jubilees. What's that? That's, yeah. Okay, we should all, to live that old right now. And of course it says that they're going to start losing their minds. Their knowledge is going to forsake them, and all their knowledge shall vanish away. I can tell you that happens. And in those days, if a man live a jubilee and a half of years, they shall say regarding him, he has lived long. Well, jubilee and a half, what's that? Yes. He's lived long enough. He's an old man. As they say, it's too late to die young. And the greater part of his days are pain, sorrow, and tribulation, and there's no peace. Okay, so you live 70 years, but a good chunk of those you're going to be in misery because of your health. Yeah, well, this is where the world is going. Okay? This is where the world is going, and there's no peace. We're to have peace, okay? For calamity shall follows on calamity, and wound on wound, and tribulation on tribulation, evil tidings on evil tidings, and illness on top of illness. And all evil judgments such as these, one with another, illness and overthrow, and snow and frost, and ice and fever and chills, and torpo, and what is that?
I'm just reading.
Yeah. And famine and death and sword and captivity and all kinds of calamities and pains. And all these shall come upon an evil generation which transgress on the earth. Their works are unclean and fornication and pollution and abominations. This is where the world's going. Then they shall say, the days of the Father were many, even unto 1,000 years, and were good. And behold, the days of our life, if a man has lived 70, and if he is strong, 80 years, and those evil, and there is no shalom in the days of this evil generation. And in that generation, the sons shall convict their fathers and their elders of sin and unrighteousness. Does this sound like what's going to happen in the last days? When sons will turn against their fathers and families and all this stuff takes place? Well, it sure does. This is called the Day of Judgment. And of the words of their mouth and the great wickedness which they perpetrate, and concerning their forsaking of the covenant which Yahweh made between them and him, that they should observe and do all his commandments and his ordinances and all his Torah without departing neither to the right or the left. Now this is talking about the Jews. This is talking about this family that we're talking about. We already know, and before that, the Gentiles were already in this cycle. Caught in the cycle. For all have done evil, and every mouth speaks iniquity, and all their works are uncleanness and an abomination, and all their ways are pollution, uncleanness, and destruction. Behold, the earth shall be destroyed on account of all their works. It's going to happen. And there shall be no seed of the vine, no oil, for their works are altogether faithless, and they shall perish together, beasts, cattle, birds, and all the fish of the sea, on account of the children of men, because of sin. And they shall strive one with another, the young with the old, and the old with the young, the poor with the rich, the lowly with the great, and the beggar with the prince, on account of the Torah, the law, and the covenant. For they have forgotten commandments and covenant and feasts and months and Shabbats and jubilees and all judgments. They've gone back. Everything's going to fall apart. Families are going to fall apart. People are going to, there's going to be social injustice. People are going to fight amongst each other. I realize that doesn't happen now, but it could happen. And they shall stand swords in war to turn them back into the way, but they shall not return until much blood has been shed on the earth, one by another. And those who have escaped shall not return from their wickedness to the way of righteousness, but they shall exalt themselves to deceit and wealth, that they may each other take all its neighbors, all that is his neighbors, and they shall name the great name of Yahweh, but not in truth and not in righteousness. They shall defile the Kadosh and the holy of the HaKadoshim with the uncleanness, with their uncleanness and the corruption of their pollution. What's being said here is that even when they start to come back and they begin to recover from how bad things can become, when they come back, they're not going to come back to God. See, the whole idea here is we're supposed to come back to God in our repentance. But it says here that they come back and they exalt themselves and their own systems and what they think they can do to fix the world. I mean, we're in the middle of a political system. There is no answer to man's problem in those conventions. There is no answer. We can govern ourselves the best we possibly can, and we should try and do that, and we should do our very best. Don't get me wrong. But if we think that it's going to fix the world's problems, that's not. I will not share my glory with another. If we go back to anything, it has to be God. We have to come back to the Lord. We have to come back to his holiness. We have to come back to his law. And it's saying here, that's not going to happen. And a great punishment shall befall the deeds of this generation from Yahweh. And he will give them over to the sword, to judgment, to captivity, to be plundered and devoured. And he will wake up against them the sinners of the Gentiles, who have neither mercy nor compassion, who shall respect the person of none, neither old nor young, nor anyone, for they are more wicked and strong to do evil than the children of men, than all the children of men, and they shall use violence against Israel. Oh, now, if you wonder why they don't love Israel right now, this is it. And Jacob gave his brother Esau, to Turn the page over.
Israel.
Transgression against Jacob. And much blood shall be shed upon the earth, and there shall be none to gather and none to bury. In those days ye shall cry aloud and call and pray that they may be saved from the hands of the sinners, the Gentiles. But none shall be saved, and the heads of the children shall be white with gray hair, and a child of 3 weeks shall appear like an old man of 100 years, and their stature shall be destroyed by tribulation and oppression. And in those days the children shall begin to study the laws, and to seek the commandments, and to return to the path of righteousness. There's going to be a revival of some sort here, right when Israel is ready to be destroyed. And the days shall begin to grow many, and increase amongst those children of men, till their days draw nigh to 1,000 years. And to a greater number of years than before was the number of the days. And there will be no old man, no one who is satisfied in his days, for all shall be as children and youths. And all their days shall be complete and live in peace and in joy. And there shall be no Satan, no evil destroyer, for all their days shall be the days of blessing and healing. Now, what are we talking about? We're seeing that we're coming into a time of tribulation in which Israel is going to be oppressed by the Gentiles, and everything comes down, and then finally, bang, something happens. Okay? And then they enter into this time where longevity comes in. The law comes back. God comes back. Peace comes back. And they begin to live for a long time. We know that as the millennium. We know the time that's being read about here as Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble, when they will have all of these troubles and the Gentiles will come against him until when? The time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Then Messiah comes back, sets things right, and sets up another kingdom in which suddenly there are no old people. There are no old people. They all grow to adulthood and stay there. So they grow, they're either children or they're growing into young adults. In their prime. That's what's being said here. And it says, and they don't grow old and they don't do that. Because of the restoration of God during that time. We're told that they will have longevity. The Bible tells us that. Anybody have any questions, any comments? Don't tell me you don't have any comments. What?
You just explained it all.
Oh, thanks. But you see, I mean, you read that. And it would be confusing if you didn't know the New Testament. If you didn't know the Bible, you would say, okay, how can you have these little kids looking like they're 100 years old? Okay. That is something that is going to happen, and I've never seen it. Nobody has seen it. But the pressures are so great. Let's face it, the pressures are great on men right now. And those pressures and the tribulations, we're trying to go back. This is addressing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's family. This is not addressing you and me. This is addressing the Jews. This is addressing the old covenant and what's going on. God the Father's covenant with his people. Out of that, we know that Jesus Christ came to deliver them. He came for the lost house of Israel. Amen? And he brought out of them a church. And then he opened it up with his other hand. And he brought us. And he reached out to us. And he says, you can come too. I'm not a respecter of persons. All of you belong to me. And if you want to come, you can. You want to repent, you can. You can come to me if you want to come to me. Come to me in righteousness. Come to me through the blood. And I'll bring you along with me. And he sets up a kingdom. And we're there with him. Not just to live with him, but to rule with him. And to be with him and to be part of his kingdom. Amen. Go read Revelation 19. Set you on a horse and say, there are the kings of the Gentiles down there and all their armies. And he says, okay, here we go. Okay, and then you go to Joel. Before them is green, it's the Garden of Eden. Behind them is black. They run on the wall, and they jump on the wall. And boy, if they're hit with a sword or a spear, it won't kill them. Why? Because they're not human anymore. Because we're not walking around in flesh and blood. We're in the glorified body that God gives us. Amen? All right, where did I stop? What's that?
30.
Okay, well, we'll finish this right here. And at that time, Yahweh will heal his servants. Praise God. And they shall rise up and see great peace and drive out their adversaries. And the righteous shall see, be thankful and rejoice forever and ever, and shall see all their judgments and all their curses on their enemies. And their bones shall rest in the earth, and their spirits shall have much joy. And they shall know that Yahweh, who executes judgment and shows mercy to hundreds and thousands and to all that love him. And do you, Moshe, write down these words, for thus are they written, and they record them on the heavenly tablets for a testimony for all generations forever. Amen. We will do Jubilees 24 next week. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for your consistency, your love, your mercy, and your righteousness. I pray for these people right here today, Lord God, that your spirit would come down and just draw every one of them closer to you. Speak to their spirits and draw them to you. Allow them, Lord God, to know you better and better. Let us have a relationship with you like Jacob had with Abraham. Oh, Father, be our God, be our sovereign Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be with them as they travel and in their homes, Lord God, that you would put your hedge around them, that you would keep them, that your Kadosh, holy angels, would protect us all now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.